Does everyone know what time it is? It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and her friends.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where two adult daughters are going to spend the next hour screaming. I'm Jasmine, and I'm here with the magical, wonderful, beautiful Dame Fino. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland.
I'm ready to scream.
Today, we're going to talk about Rise of the Resistance. If you hear us laughing randomly, it's again because we're both on camera. So,
also, it's quarantine time, so everything is hilarious.
Yes, it's like, hello, human being who I don't live with. You're so funny.
I love human.
I love human too.
Rise of the Resistance, human.
I was going to start talking about the Boys and Berry Festival, but that doesn't have to do with the topic. I'm sad that we're not there. That's what I was going to say about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Boys and the Berries. It's
one of my favorite. The Boys and the Berries.
I was going to say fictional holidays, but I don't think I have to take it
boys,
that far.
Boys are fictional.
You know, my favorite ones are.
This is true. This is
including
true.
Including Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. And Hux. And Poe.
Mr. Poe Dameron.
And BB-8. She loves her some BB-8.
I guess Finn's okay too. He can hang out.
He is a nice young man.
He would be there if he was written better.
Yeah, it's not his fault that they did not do the best job with his character. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Do not listen if you don't want spoilers. We're going to go into details. We're going to spoil things. We're going to talk about how the ride works. And we're just going to scream for 20 minutes.
The dirty details, baby.
The dirty details. So we went, you had gone several times before you and I went together.
Yeah, I went opening day like a true diehard idiot. I met
true
up
hero.
With my friend that it was raining, a beautiful rainy California day. We got there, I want to say 3:30 or 4 in the morning because we didn't realize exactly how the situation was going to go. And like two little baby children who could not fall asleep because we were too excited, we're like, let's just wait.
To be fair, in Florida, it was first come, first serve. So you probably just assumed that's how it was going to be here.
That's what I had understood. But I feel like I heard conflicting results and reports up into hours ahead. So I was like, I feel like there are very few things I would be willing to do this for anyways, besides the upcoming, whenever it happens, Avengers Campus. So I thought, why not? It's now or never to
You're brave. You're brave with crowds. You're much braver than I am. I remember we went to the opening of Guardians of the Galaxy ride, and I freaked out and had a headache and left halfway through the day.
Well, that's not giving yourself a lot of credit. You do not like the ride system.
Yeah,
so I
do
not
like
drops.
So I
think it's a fair thing to allow your anxiety to exacerbate something you're already afraid of.
I also got I wore this new lipstick that day and I got it everywhere and I just got it and I just was getting so upset that I was getting lipstick everywhere, which sounds so stupid, but it just was adding to the day.
You were just melting away. Melting away in a ball of stress. And sometimes that happens.
I eventually floated away.
You just melted into a puddle like Amelie.
Bye-bye.
My favorite girl. Just
like Alex Mack.
Yeah. She just blooped away.
I blooped.
Oh, where'd Jasmine go? She blooped away into that puddle over there. We'll
it's
miss
a
her.
Cute puddle.
Yeah. It has a little bit of lipstick.
A little bit of lipstick and some curl. So the day you and I decided to go to Rise, I picked a Wednesday and I took off work because I heard Wednesday was the least crowded day. Which I don't know if that's true. It was still pretty crowded.
I feel like over the years in general, Wednesday is the day you could bet on should be the slowest day. Not that that's always the case, but you never know 100% when it comes to Disneyland.
I think this is also the last time you were at Disneyland, right? Before it closed.
The day we went. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went 2 days later with Jenny because she got
That's
Rise
That's the
tickets.
Last day I was around a lot of people. I have been in quarantine pretty much besides a couple trips to and from essential places. So, that's the last day I enjoyed the presence of human.
The last day you were around more than five people. Oh, what a glorious time. So we will remember this day fondly. So we got there in the morning. I also picked that day because the park opened at 9 that day. And I thought like getting there at 7:30 was just much more tolerable than getting there at 6:30. You still woke up early because you looked fabulous. I just looked like I came out of the garbage can.
I'm not an early riser, which goes to show how much I do love the ride. And like, or at least the excitement of something new worth getting up for, because it takes me, I like to wake up about 3 hours before I have to leave so that I have about an hour to be lazy, because it just takes me a while to like force myself to sit up, stand out of the bed,
become
like,
human.
Yeah, like slap my face, go like, wake up, please don't fall asleep. And then I like to get ready without like too much of a rush,
mm-hmm.
just for my sanity.
Have your coffee.
Although if it's a Disney day, I do like getting my Starbucks.
You didn't get your coffee till later. So now I'm jumping ahead though, because you got your coffee later. Spoilers. So we got into the park they let you in an hour early. I think we are sitting on Main Street at 8:30.
It was earlier the first day, but as it went into like a normal functioning thing, mm-hmm. I think it's about an hour before.
Yeah, the first day I think it opened way before, but now I think they let you on Main Street an hour before. It's kind of like the hour after thing. It's they let you on an hour before. If you have extra magic hours, that's a whole nother story, but you still can't really go – you can't get your pass until the park officially opens. They don't count down. You literally have to just be – so you have to download the app. You have to have the app
on your phone.
But they
trick you because about 10 minutes before – or I think it's 10 or 15 minutes before the park opens, they'll start to play like – there's like an announcement. Mm-hmm. I forget his name, the lovely voice of Disneyland.
Yeah.
Who will say like, I don't know. I don't – not that
Buscemi.
Good of a fan.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi says, hey, fellow kids. And and
welcome to Disneyland.
It's something like, you know,
I'm Mr. Pink.
good morning, or something. Yeah. Oh, Mickey's coming out soon. So, but I forget the specificities. But yeah, there is something that happens, and that's like a good time to, for sure, if you don't have your clock set up or some kind of timer, at least to like look at the clock on your phone.
Yeah. And it's like, I think they let people start going on rides at 8:50. And I think that's to distract people. Technically, you can get your boarding pass anywhere in the park, I think. But you want to be somewhere with good Wi-Fi, obviously.
It depends how much of the park is open, too. Because I don't think it's every day open entirely.
Yeah, I think, Galaxy's Edge, I don't know if that opens right away. I know Rise doesn't open usually till about an hour after the park opens. Who knows in the future what that will be like, but for now.
Yeah, especially with them adding the thing to the app. Maybe we'll get there. If we get to the end of this, we can discuss our theories, our conspiracies.
About Disneyland opening back up 2020, hopefully.
Rise once more, question mark?
From the Resistance. Or to it. I don't know.
Hey, so, it's up to you, babes.
It's whatever you believe in your hearts. So you want to have your app ready. You want to have all your parties' passes scanned into everyone's apps. You can follow all the directions. There was this one older lady who asked us how to do it. And
well,
we were
technically, she asked us and the man who entered my personal space bubble.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about – let's get here. The morning we're there – I was very intent on finding a place to sit and just hang out and like test my Wi-Fi. So I chose those little steps there next to the is it outside the jewelry store? I forget what it's called. And we sat there for a good 10 or 15 minutes. And this man, I mean, he stands directly in front of me.
Like
he
within
is
a foot.
Within a foot of my space. And his family is there. And he's, what does he tell them? Oh, you go wait in line for food. I'm going to wait here.
And he's just in our space. Then this woman comes up to us and we start to, and she's like, oh, can you explain how this boarding process works? Because they don't tell you. You just kind of
have to come
knowing.
And also, this was about 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
We're getting close. Like, we had the world clock set up.
Yeah,
I was
looking at that. Ready to go
in the zone. I was like thinking about Ben Solo. I had my inner chance. I was like, what would Poe Dameron do right now?
He would just close his eyes and focus on the Force.
I was saying, be with me. Be with me, burning passes. Be with me. And this very nice older lady, and she was obviously, she had no idea. She was like, how do we do this?
I think she knew the app and that was it.
She knew there was something with the app, but beyond that, did not. I don't think she was particularly familiar with the app at all.
No.
And he really just mansplained the heck out of what
we started to explain.
Do.
And then he just started going off saying wrong information. And we got a way sooner boarding pass than they did.
And he told her so confidently.
Yeah.
And he got, what did he get? Like 100 and.
Yeah. We got 10? 60. Did we get 68 or 58? And then they got like over 100 in the boarding passes.
Well, also they moved really fast. We got on there earlier than I would have anticipated based on other days. I do not think the ride went down before we rode.
Not at all. So you want to, with the app, you want to go on right at the time that in our experience, right at the time when you can get them. So go right at 9. Don't even wait.
Don't do
a
couple minutes before or seconds before. It will not go from the clothes brand new. You want to see the fireworks or whatever. And then click into the boarding pass. Don't go into the boarding pass thing and then refresh the boarding pass.
No. Just get it all ready. Go click, click, click. Have your parties ready to go. Go in right at 9. Do not even wait 1 minute. Like at 8:50, just sit down and start staring at your phone.
Just sit down and log out.
Log out and then go
in.
And then you get your board. So we got our boarding pass. We were like 58 or 68, which was pretty early in the day. So that was good. And we were happy. And it's cool because you hear people start to cheer. Well, I guess that's not cool. It gave me a panic attack because I heard and I was like, shoot, all these people are starting to get their passes.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how stressful would you say getting a boarding pass is?
The first day. When I tell you, the first day, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, granted, I hadn't slept. I knew I was, like, shaky. I was in, like, my full Kylo Ren regalia. It was freezing that night, and I do not take well to the cold. You know, I'm a fragile little baby, and much like Kylo Ren. And it was... I was shaking, like I forgot to breathe. And you start to hear people cheering and you're like, nothing is coming up for me and nothing is coming up for anybody. And that first day we got 63. I don't think we rode till like 4 something.
It's very stressful. Just be prepared for stress. Have everyone on your phone do it. Just pre-prepare as much as you can before 8:45 or 9 or 7:45, whatever. At least 15 minutes before the park opens, make sure you have everything ready to go.
And as many people in your group can try at the same time, you don't have to worry about it not going through. So just add everybody up and then see which one of you gets the click through. And that's going to be the best bet, I think.
Because I think, it's like, let's say if you and I both got it and I clicked through all the way, you wouldn't be able to get it anyway. So it wouldn't matter.
It would just show me I'm already in a boarding group. Mm-hmm. Well, both of us, because I would have had the same thing.
But yeah, just have everyone's passes ready to go. So, okay, after that stress, we decided to go eat at Carnation Cafe, and we had Mickey waffles with ice cream.
The best place.
Yes.
I would say.
In the world.
I would say maybe my favorite place to eat at Disneyland.
Yeah, you talked about it in last week's episode, you talked about how much you love Carnation Cafe and the good crispy Mickey waffles.
It's really good. I do love breakfast food, and I do think there are other things that I would put really close, but there's something about Carnation Cafe and being on Main Street in the morning, it will put you in like a really good mindset. I do think if you're going for a Star Wars heavy day, though, a breakfast Ronto is nice as well, or that lava roll. There's some good breakfast options, but we hadn't really done the waffles together. Did you guys know you could get ice cream on a Mickey waffle?
Yeah, the waitress recommended that to us. Yeah. So I literally ordered 2 Mickey waffles, one just to eat for my meal, and then that was my dessert one, and we shared it, and it was divine.
And I also had a frittata, frittata. And if you're... looking for like a hard, not like super hearty, but a healthy-ish, something that will fill you up. If you're like me and you can't always have Mickey shaped food all day, every day. I mean, it is Mickey shaped.
Yes.
But on the healthier side too, that is like a really, really great option.
Yeah, I just wanted a waffle, so I just ate two waffles.
But they're really good waffles.
They're so good, and they're the big kind, and they're crispy and delicious, and chef's kiss.
It didn't even get melty with the ice cream.
So you have a boarding time, so they'll say like boarding pass, boarding groups 1 through 20.
Not a time, but a group.
A group. So yeah, you won't have a time, because that's in case like the ride breaks down, blah, 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 whatever. So it will notify you when it's actually time for you to go up. But I think you have like a 2-hour window after they call you to go up. And, but we just kept checking all day because we were super excited. And I remember you wore white and I was really worried. And we sat on the dirt and I was so impressed that you didn't get any dirt on your butt.
I was wearing a Princess Leia inspired outfit. I had my new little lounge fly bag. I was ready to... Disney bound.
Ready to party.
I was the walking definition of hope.
Yes.
And I was like, hello, would you like to speak about the rebellion today? Would you like to join the rebellion?
Later, after we rode the ride, Kylo Ren came up to you and started talking to you. And then he talked to me and I didn't know what to do.
Can you believe that? He really did. I was like,
chose you out of all the people. He chose you.
I was like walking away too. I was like, yeah. I'm not ready.
Then he asked me if I was supporting you and I was like, yes. No. It was very scary. And then I just thought, oh, this is probably like an 18-year-old boy in here. And that ruined the magic.
Shh, I don't want to think about it.
It was Adam Driver.
Yes. I was like, his hands are so big. I could tell it's him.
Is there anything about the boarding group process I've left out? I think I got everything.
I don't know. I mean, for me, I've been very lucky because every time I've ridden, someone else was the one who got it. I have not, considering I feel like I know the correct things to do, I've not gotten lucky doing the boarding pass system. So I do think it's a smart idea to go in with the first time or two, if you really like only have that chance, try to have a bigger group or try to not get your hopes up.
It just sucks because like if you get there, I mean, if you get there anyway and you're there in the morning to be there all day and you're like, okay, then that's fine. But like I literally had taken the day off of work. You woke up early. I woke up early to get there. So I'm glad that we got it. I feel bad for the people who they go there and that's their express wish is to go on that ride.
Oh, the other thing I would say is do not under anticipate the crowds to both park and to get over to the park and then to get in the line to get into the park, because those things sometimes you could like be really good and get in right before or get to the front of the line. But I mean, there's been a really bad parking line some days to get into Mickey and Friends. There does take it, even if you're walking like power walking like I usually do from the Mickey and Friends structure, I would say it still takes 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
There will be a line to get in. And sometimes it all depends on how fast that cast member is getting people in through the front gate. Some of those lines move a lot faster than the other lines. You have to kind of be fast and smart about picking the right line.
You want to get there. I think the parking structure opens an hour and a half before park opening. So you want to get there. So like, let's say
Mickey
the park
and
opens.
Friends does, but Toy Story opens earlier.
Oh,
then you got to take the Toy Story shuttle. So.
Yeah. Then you have to take the train or the 10-year journey.
to walk down Harbor Boulevard.
Yes. The indignity of walking down Harbor
Money,
Boulevard.
Money, please.
So yeah, you want to get there. You want to park as soon as possible.
Pass
the pizza. Do not go into the pizza press. I know it looks delicious. Do not go in there.
I don't think they're open that early. You would just be wasting your time.
Exactly. Like not breakfast pizza, or do they have breakfast pizza? Yeah, you want to get there. There's always a huge line to get in because you can't get a boarding pass till you're in the gates of Disneyland. They have
security line. I just think don't under anticipate the lines. Don't think you're going to like roll up to Mickey and Friends and be inside the park in 15 minutes. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it took us 45 minutes and we were lucky. Like the line literally goes to DCA. So you're going to be in line and they're all full. So you want to just – it's better to just – if it was nice because we were sitting down ready to go at half an hour before the thing started. You want to be there – like it's not – there's not a problem just sitting there waiting because then you can get a good spot.
I mean, granted, you could walk in a minute or two after you get in. That happened to me once or twice, like really close. But if you miss, the hour, the top of the hour, when it's over. So being early, as early as you can be, just suck it up and get in the gate.
Yep. There have been days, there's been like 2 days where the passes didn't go for rides until like 12:30 that day. But that's literally been 2 days out of however many days the ride's been open.
And you're going to be there at the end of the day. Yeah, like, exactly. Do you really want to be there? Mm-hmm. I mean, some of you maybe are stronger than us.
Yeah, we have weak constitutions.
I dress really nice, okay?
Yes. I am delicate like a flower.
I'm strong like an ox. But
a decorated ox.
You know, an ox still likes to sleep. An ox doesn't want to hurt their feet more than they have to.
No, you want to. You don't want to get sick.
An ox wants to go home feeling like an ox, and not the ghost of an ox.
You don't want to be
not a
trail.
Forced ghost of an ox. Yeah. Am I right?
Am I right? So yeah, just make sure the earlier the better.
No,
ma'am. Because yeah, if you by 9:01 or 9:02 that day, all the boarding passes were gone. So just don't risk it. Get there early, everybody.
And it was a Wednesday. We thought it was going to be the chill day. It was not so chill.
And this was a couple weeks after it opened too. This wasn't right away. Are you ready for some trivia about Rise of the Resistance?
Sure.
Most of which I'm sure you know. So it takes place between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, canonically. So that's why there's things that...
Interesting choices.
Yes. They just really... I think it literally happens right before Rise of the Resistance. Because Kylo's in that ship and it's supposedly like he escapes.
You mean Rise of Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker, yeah.
Yeah.
That he... why did they name the ride and the movies
you know,
so close?
When it comes to Disney and Star Wars, there are a lot of questions that you might ask.
Yes.
Why would they do that?
Why?
So, you know... Maybe we don't dig too deep into the whys. Yeah. Because... That's a never-ending Sarlacc pit, am I right?
So Industrial Light and Magic, founded by George Lucas, created the screen animation. So all the CGI, all the stuff you see out the windows, that was all created by the same people who do the special effects for Star Wars. So it's writing the movies. You're experiencing the film.
I love writing the movies.
It is the best. 65 audio animatronics throughout the ride, some of which are A-1000 figures. So for a long time, A-100 figures were like top dog, like the Wicked Witch of the West. Well, now they have A-1000. Ooh, which I think Anna and Elsa and Frozen After are A-1000.
Well, I mean, one of them looks an awful like one we'll see in this ride. So yep. That doesn't surprise me.
I think Hux... And then both Kylos are A-1000s. I don't think Finn is A-1000 because he's not. He might be, but that Kylo is like, ah, he's like a Muppet.
He's singing Let It Go, baby.
He's letting it go.
We love a boy who flails.
I love a boy who just flails in the wind in his mystery cape.
He's so hot when he flails.
Daddy.
When he goes, wah, I'm like, wah.
Just flying out that window, spoilers.
And into my heart.
There are 5 million lines of computer code. I'm guessing that's a lot because that's mentioned in a lot of articles, but I don't know how many lines of computer code are normally in something.
Oh, so many lines?
Yeah. Look at all these lines of computer code.
That's one of those things that they tell you and you just nod like, oh.
Cool. 5 million is a high number.
But there are that many.
That's cool. I do not doubt that.
Thank you for telling me.
Why don't you go count them? It's a 15-minute experience using 4 ride systems. So this is what I think the 4 ride systems are. I couldn't find confirmation, but this is my guess. Please correct me if I'm wrong. The ship transport turntable, trackless dark ride system, motion simulator, and drop. I feel like they count the drop and the motion simulator as 2 different ride systems. But who can say? I don't know. I know definitely like the motion simulator and drop.
I mean, there's a rise and a drop. Those are 2 separate entirely.
I don't know if the ride. I also thought the elevator up could possibly be its own ride system, but it's definitely like trackless ride system, the beginning thing that gets you to the ship, and then the motion simulator.
Unless the trackless is like all the way from. Oh, I don't want to. I mean, are we going to just spoil basically?
We're going to spoil the whole ride. So just be prepared. Don't listen if you don't want the whole thing
spoiled.
From
when you get a. Rescued by the resistance. Mm-hmm. That's entering the trackless ride vehicle.
Yeah.
So is it then all the way up the elevator? Because you're still on a trackless ride system.
Yeah.
Until the drop in.
Mm-hmm. And that's two. That's motion simulator and a drop. Do they count that as one or as two?
It's a lot of questions, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
But I know there's definitely four. They just, all no I know one is
there's a lot of things going on, and yeah, I appreciate them. And I think 5 million lines of code. Real good experience, baby.
5 million lines of code were.
I mean, to be fair, I do think I'm kind of one of those Disney fans. Like, I do like to know a fair bit about the behind the scenes and how things work and what went into planning things. But I also, I like to suspend my...
We're really on a ship.
My...
disbelief.
Disbelief. I want to be on that ship with Kylo Ren. I want to know Poe Dameron's in that X-Wing over there. And sometimes I get to a point of hearing the details and I'm like, I'm just going to stop listening because I want to believe.
The story is told in three acts: embarking on the mission, being captured, and escaping. So it's told like a movie, kind of, just in 15 minutes. Score by John Williams. And there are 8 ride vehicles with 2 vehicles traveling together during the ride experience. Okay, that's the end of the trivia. Yay.
Bye, trivia.
Bye, trivia. Now let's talk about the line, which is an experience in and of itself.
Yeah.
There's seats along most of the line.
First of all, it feels so good to finally even get in the line, which is a really funny part of the boarding pass system. Have you ever got so excited to be like, you're allowing me to get in line? Heck yeah!
The best is, I don't know if I was with you or with Jenny, one of the times there was a family and they were trying to get in the line and they're trying to explain to them like, no, you have to like have a boarding pass to get in the line. And they're like, no, we're fine just standing in the regular line. And they're like, no, but to stand in the regular line, you have to have a boarding pass.
It doesn't work like that, sweetie.
Yeah. You have to enter a lottery to get the privilege of standing in line. The line goes pretty quickly. Sometimes it goes slow. Sometimes you can go through it in like 15 minutes. Sometimes it can be up to an hour.
I think it really depends on what, if the ride's been down and what part of the timing of what group you happen to get in and walk over there. I've definitely, that first day and the last time I rode it besides the time with you, they were like, the ride went down and stuff and we were stopped in line for like an hour plus. So I think it's safe to get into the line having like gone to the bathroom. If you need water or a snack, just have it in case, because you do have to make it to a certain point to get a return if the ride goes down. So just be prepared. That is the minute you get into the line, it's a question mark of when you're going to be leaving that attraction.
Yeah, there was rumors that there was a bathroom in line, which there might be. I just didn't see it. And then there wasn't anyone selling food in the line either. So just go in, arrive having eaten. Just be ready to go. And they scan your ticket twice. So I think if you leave the line, you can't go back. Yeah, make sure you have water with you, but don't drink too much because you can't really go pee. Just have a good equilibrium.
Know your limits.
Yeah, know your limits. I did like the waterfall, the backside of water. That was amazing to me.
You did like that.
Every time I've gone on the ride, I say that every time I go past. The backside of water. Everyone's like, oh, that's an Easter egg for Jungle Cruise. I'm like, no, I think that's just
people who are Disney fans. It's just a waterfall, yeah. And you walk behind it.
Behind it, yeah. And then
Hey, yeah. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it.
Disney should just claim that, be like, we did that on purpose.
You know that Walt Disney in 1957 invented waterfalls. No one had ever dropped water from anything. And water never even touched a rock until that day.
Do you know in 1945,
you're welcome,
he invented water?
I heard that.
He took hydrogen and oxygen
and
twice.
He made him a kiss.
It's a kiss. And he made water. So galactic pizza ovens. Were you the one who pointed out that there's like this whole room full of just, it looks like pizza ovens?
Yeah, that was the girls from my lovely Star Wars group chat. All those babes. I forgot who I'd pointed out. They're like, what are these? They're for very huge pizzas or very tiny pizzas. And there's like a lot of them, but they're closed.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of questions.
Just a lot of holes in the building.
They
I guess.
Said, are they pizza ovens or are they like morgue?
More, yeah, where you burn a body. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, does this burn a pizza or a body?
Or both. You got in the Rebel Alliance, hey, you never know what you got to do.
You are working with limited space and resources.
Need a nice pizza? Need a disposable
It brings
body.
Out a new side of a person, you know?
That's a litmus test. Like, what do you see this as? A pizza or a crematorium?
You're probably right.
Who would you choose?
I think we lost the test.
Yes.
And the Star War.
I love the stars and the wars.
I love the war.
I did notice that the rebels love suitcases. There's suitcases everywhere. There's just bags and bags. You can also play. There's a Play Disney game that does help the time pass, and you can scan stuff. And then I haven't played it past the line. I don't know if you can pass the initial rebel area, but there's a fun game to play. There's lots of Easter eggs. There's equipment throughout. There's costumes, but I guess they're not costumes in the context of the ride. rebel pilot outfits on Salt.
Jumpsuits,
yes.
Onesies.
Lots of onesies, lots of jumpsuits, lots of helmets, lots of suitcases and pizza ovens galore. And they're seating almost the whole way.
I mean, look, realistically, it's not the most aesthetic thing, but I think part of that was why they chose what they did, which I guess you could say is very smart because they it's like, look at all the money we didn't have to spend. But I mean, maybe they did. I don't know. It's very reminiscent of like Indiana Jones. I do really like seeing some of the resistance regalia, the helmets. I think that's fun. The rest of it is like, it's not like doing the most, but it serves its purpose. I think like the next room is really where it starts to feel like an experience.
Once you get to the first pre-show, after that, it's all just top tier. But, I mean, yeah, you can't have the whole ride be top tier. So, yeah, the line is as interesting
it's
as
realistic.
The line can be.
It's yeah. great for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Like, what are they going to put? Like, an animatronic of, like, a Yub Nub?
It's not Cloud City. It's not Naboo. But we knew it wouldn't be. Also, Yub Nub.
Yeah, Yub Nub is what an Ewok says. It's not an Ewok. Yub nub.
What are you thinking of, a Jawa? Utini?
Jawa, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I would like them to be Ewoks, but more realistically, they'd be Jawas, yeah.
They'd steal all your stuff.
Sand people. It's Chewbacca's cousin. Are we ready to talk about the pre-show?
I'm always ready to talk about the pre-show.
I mean, BB-8 comes wheeling out. So you go into a room. So there's two rooms you go into. You split left or right.
Mirror images, I think.
I don't know how many pre-show rooms there are. Are there just two?
I think
are
there's
there four?
Two.
Okay. And they split you up, but then you all end up in the same place anyway after. But yeah, so BB-8 comes wheeling on out. It's very similar to like Rocket in Guardians of the Galaxy, how he's kind of
so many
up.
Beeps and boops.
Yeah, BB boop. Just adorable. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's so adorable, which is true. Then
me. Perfect impression, by the way.
Then Rey comes up and it's a Pepper's Ghost effect.
And it's Rey's theme is playing in the background.
Yes!
And that's the first day when I tell you, I cried. It started immediately with her music. I was like, there she is.
Every time
her.
She said, and I'm going to tear up now just because I'm pathetic. She says, welcome to the cause. I always tear up because I always wanted to be in the Rebel Alliance. So I'm just like, I'm here. And it's a good acting point. Like, she does a good job acting.
What are you talking about? That's Rey.
That's right. I mean, Rey does. She's conveying her passion through her speech.
She's telling us she needs our help. And she's obviously good at it because she's not
yes.
a liar. But really, she's so great. It touches my heart. And then we get a bounce over. We see some other friends. Most importantly, Mr. Poe Dameron.
I remember the first time I went on it and you kind of stood in on a weird spot and everyone was standing everywhere else. And I'm like, why are you standing over there? And you're like, shh, just wait. And it was right in front of where Poe came on and he looks at everyone and he goes, oh, a bunch of good looking recruits. And I'm like, I know why she stood there because he's looking at that spot right when he says that.
Look, Poe Dameron is not my favorite Star Wars character, but Oscar Isaac is my...
I just know you love Oscar Isaac so much.
But Oscar Isaac is like my numero uno celebrity crush.
and I appreciate him so much. And I just like to be near.
Is Padme your favorite?
Star Wars character? Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean, I do really love Kylo Ren as a character. I think he's like the most compelling in these movies, which is maybe not saying that much. But I do love Rey. I would have liked to see other things, perhaps, with where his story went.
Yes.
I do love Leia.
Leia's my favorite.
I really love the women of Star Wars, honestly. And I'm kind of compelled to Anakin as a character, not in The Phantom Menace. And, I mean, Han Solo is also good.
You don't love the child Anakin?
No.
No, I don't.
If Anakin, I had to pick a least favorite of all 9 movies, it is The Phantom Menace.
Then you go outside, and you're the one who pointed this out to me. You can see, so there's the X-Wing out there with BB-8. And there's a waiting area between the pre-show and the first ride vehicle. Poe Dameron is in the X-Wing. It's just really hard to see. Or there's somebody in there.
Also, how did BB-8 get out there so fast?
He just wheeled.
I didn't see. He just wheeled on out of there.
He just transported.
It's so fast. He's like Drax. He's just imperceptible to the eye.
I'm moving so fast. You can't tell.
Yeah. Couldn't even see it. So quick. But one of the cool things about that, too, is you're in those tunnels for so long, and then you go into that briefing room, and when you leave, it's outside. That's one of my favorite parts about this ride, is it does feel very, like, natural. All the spaces, it's one of those things where it's smart because they are things you're familiar with to an extent, but in ways that you didn't necessarily think of. Oh, I'm going to be outside and here's the sun, you know.
When it helps you from becoming claustrophobic because there's outside, it places it in more of a realistic setting because it's not just like, oh, here's another room, here's another warehouse room. You're outside, there's the X-Wing. And then also for future reference, for later in the ride, when you land at the end of the ride, if it's daytime, the landing scene's day. If it's afternoon, it's afternoon.
I think also in the next scene, it's the same as well.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The takeoff scene. Yeah.
The transport.
Yes, the transport, where it's just where the ride really begins. I count this as the beginning of the ride, the transport.
I count the second I get in the line is the beginning of my ride experience.
It's a 4-hour ride.
I start hearing the Rey's theme when I get in the line, like, bum, 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 you know?
You play your Tiffany drum.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then you get on the ship. And you're greeted by Lieutenant Beck and Nine Nub, his co-pilot. And you can stand anywhere, which is really cool. Because normally on a Disneyland ride, you have to sit down, strap in. But you can – and you're not packed in. They only, I think, let like 20 people in. So you can kind of walk about the ship. And then in the front, you can see where you're launching. And like – so basically the plot is you're on Batuu and you have to escape. But then you're captured by – the First Order, but you can see like the back of the ship. You can see where like you're leaving Batuu, and you can see everything behind you. The front of the ship, you can see all the action going on there. Then you're captured by the First Order. Did I get everything? I feel like I'm summing it up too much. It feels longer than that, but that's just basically the plot.
Yeah, yeah. I like to stand in front of Poe Dameron.
Yes, he's on the left-hand side. There's a screen over there. And then Hux also comes on
the
screen.
I think he's in the corners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all the corners. There's screens around, too. So there's really not a bad seat. Little kids always stand in front of the animatronic.
I do think the first time, though, it is nice to be in the front and really see that amazing animatronic. He is unbelievable. Also, I mean, in the middle and the back is great. You see an entirely different view of Batuu. And it's cool stuff to see. Or if you're like me, you just... you watch Poe Dameron.
And
so many options.
And it matches the time of day. So if it's nighttime, you'll leave at nighttime. So you might not want to hear this, Allison, so I'll explain it as quickly as possible. The ship is on a turntable.
Oh, I know.
So basically, once you get onto the ship, there's 2 different ship sets.
I think there's on 3. Turntable.
Oh, 3. Oh, you might be right. There's at least, yeah.
Because I think there's 3. One in the... boarding,
yeah,
and there's like an extra, and then there's one in the
yeah, ready to load, yeah,
the what I, you know what I'm saying,
yeah. So basically you get on the ship, there's three ship sets, it's on a turntable, and that's how you travel. Because people, and I thought this the first time too, I thought you really did like go forward into the show building, but it's really just on a turntable. So that's why when you leave the ship, you exit the same door that you came in, which always throws people off. Because because there's two doors, so everyone goes and stands by the other door, and then when the door finally opens, it takes people a long time to realize that
the other door is open. It's the same door you came into.
How is
it possible? And now they're behind you.
How is it possible? So Lieutenant Beck is a beautiful animatronic. He is my space boyfriend. He's pretty close. Like, how often do you get that close to an animatronic?
Me? Almost never.
Yeah, me. He's like 2 feet away from you, and his little ship thing, his chair moves. It does at first, it is a little shaky, so I recommend trying to like stand your ground. Don't like hop. You do feel the ground moving under your feet. You do feel like you're going up. It really does feel motiony. Like I think that's why people think you're actually moving.
I mean, I get vertigo a little easily.
Yeah.
And it definitely gives you a little bit, mm-hmm. like once you leave this experience of the ride, mm-hmm. I will still be standing by the stormtroopers and into the next hallway, yeah. and feeling like that like buoyancy.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So if you're sensitive like me, I would suggest holding on or like yes. doing whatever you have to do mm-hmm. to distract yourself
forward,
from
yeah.
yeah. the sensation of living.
Hux does, but when he comes on screen, so you're captured by the First Order.
He body checks.
So the First Order comes on screen,
it's
and
amazing.
They're like, prepare to be boarded. And this lady gets suddenly body checked and knocked over by Hux, who comes on the screen. I don't feel like enough people are talking about this.
No, he is living the drama queen moment. And it so makes sense if you, spoilers, know what happens to him in The Rise of Skywalker, because it just seems like a man who has reached the peak of just not giving a single care in the world, and he body checks this woman out of the frame in a true drama queen, iconic, beautiful, chef's kiss. I love it.
The Hux
Please
stops
look out
here.
For it. 10 out of 10. 11 out of 10. Yeah. The Hux did stop there. Literally, he made it.
You can only
stop
see this if you're watching right the screens that have like the like pose on it. Oh, and like three or four characters die. So it's basically Poe and these other X-wing.
Yeah. Some death in front of your face.
All these X-wing pilots are like around your ship trying to get you to your next destination, and they all get shot down except Poe, and you're just like, oh, that guy died.
In flames.
And you see in like flames. The flame part.
They
yeah.
burst.
And then Hux comes yeah. on and knocks a woman over.
Hey, Jasmine, I don't know if you know, this is a war.
It's actually one of my favorite parts of the ride is that ship, and I don't know why. I think because it's just so, like, yeah, it's the body check. It's the body check of Poe. Direct eye contact with a man that's not my dad. I do mean back. He looks into my soul. You get to see the back of Nine Nub's head. It's beautiful. So next we get to the First Order ship. So the same doors you came in open.
This is the showstopper. This is the open the doors. A First Order lieutenant officer comes up, tells you to deboard this instant. And you are greeted by, is it 50 stormtroopers?
50 stormtroopers in the hangar bay, yes.
In the hangar. And it is the photo spot you see on Instagram. Yep. It is fabulous.
You're just overwhelmed with emotion.
I know, I'm like, verklempt over here. It's beautiful.
The shame is, okay, so the person comes on, they usually have to yell at everyone to get off the ship because everyone just stands around. And everyone's also facing the other way, just standing facing towards the door. So they don't even realize that there's somebody behind them. So that you exit the ship. I remember the first time I was there, I stood by that door because I knew I wanted to be the first one to see this. My jaw dropped. Like, you see, it's a room with a 100-foot screen, 50 animatronic stormtroopers, and they move a little bit. And the worst part is they twitch. They twitch. They, like, one, like, their arm will move. They make you go really quickly through this room.
That's when you put your little feet down and you yep. stick your butt and you go, no.
I mean, they won't really, like, force you to. They are very...
I mean, they will kind of...
They will yell at you.
If you're someone yeah. like me who yep. anyone tells me to do anything, I say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Please forgive me.
You do have to... If you're going to really want to take a picture there, and it is probably, like, the best photo spot, You do have to be ready for
the yelled at. Yeah.
First order, maybe multiple people to be in your space, be mad dogging you in a real serious way, and you just take a picture as fast as your little fingers can do it.
Yeah, they get in your face. It's very aggressive. I kept wondering if anyone went to City Hall to complain because they were like, oh, this cast member was really rude to me.
I've heard that they're like a lot kinder in Florida. I don't know if that's true, but they do. The weirdest thing about it to me is they have those ride vehicles on the left. I'm seeing people take pictures in, but I'm like, they don't even let you walk really much in that direction. Even for me already ignoring them and going on my way.
You have to just pretend that you walk really slow and then you can kind of get some pictures. But like if you stop, they really do are like not get in your face, but they're like, keep moving.
No, they got in my face. Ooh. They have been in my face. I told you the first day that I went on opening day, there was like two of them like in my face where I did not get a good picture there.
Oh,
and
no.
I kind of felt bad afterwards because I was like, okay, like I definitely like my joking level of sass was surpassed by my actual like, okay, don't get in my face, please.
I get you're in a role right now, but I need a picture here.
Yeah, I was like, hello? I'm a very simple woman. I just need one picture. I just need one. I need one picture for Instagram. I need one picture for Facebook. And I need like one other picture where like I don't look like I'm posing. Like if you are posing with me, we could be interacting. But instead, you're actually making me mad. So let's work
this
together.
Keep problem.
It moving.
But that room, it's probably the best single room in the entire ride.
Debatable. But as far as what you're walking through and can take a picture of, I would say it's definitely like the showstopper.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say it's the top. I would say like in the top contender, one of the top. But yeah, debatable. So then you go from that room, which is amazing. But then you go and you line up for interrogation. So technically you get into a second line.
I love that hallway. I really want a picture in that hallway.
It is a cool hallway. It's just
but
full
it's
of people.
Always people. Mm-hmm. Or so if ever I have a friend who wants to help me take a picture in that hallway,
clear everybody.
Yeah,
one day.
I know. I'm just, like, I just have a simple request.
If anyone works there and would like to help us take a picture, please email 1313theharbor@gmail.com.
Do your first order duty.
So you get into the interrogation room, which is pretty small, like not claustrophobically small, but. It like narrows towards the back and it comes to a point. It's like a triangle shape.
I love this room. It's where I took my Leia selfie.
Yes. You went to the back and took a bunch of pictures.
If you've been on the ride a couple times, this is a place to take some dark, moody Star Wars selfies.
Yes.
Go to the back. You're going to get some cool lighting. Everyone else in front of you is going to see all the fun stuff. You're going to be out of their way and... selfie time. If you didn't get the stormtrooper selfie because they were mean to you, then
no one's in your face here. they also, oh, and you have to, before you get into this room, you line up according to your color. So like, they're like, okay, stand on the
blue
line.
They'll tell you where to stand.
Yeah. So then you have to remember when you get onto the ride vehicles later, like you are blue. So they have like a show in front of you, like it's, you're in the bottom of the interrogation room and then the top level, there's a stormtrooper and then Kylo and Hux come out and it's like not an animation, but it's a video, but there's actually shadows from the projections on the walls. So like it's Kylo's shadow is on the wall and Hux's shadow is on the wall. So that's a pretty cool effect.
What a shadow. He says, if you don't give him the base, he'll take it from you.
And we all know what base is. The base.
Slapping the base?
Why does everyone lean on the wall in the interrogation room?
Do they?
Yeah, every time. There's always, not everyone, but like five or six guys usually are leaning against the wall. Like
they're just
John
so
Wayne.
Cool, dude. Yeah. They're such cool dudes. Like James Dean. They probably got one foot up against the wall.
They do.
They
their arms crossed.
Piece of straw in their mouth. Oh, what a moment. Hey. All day posing. Go for it.
But then the ironic part is at one point the wall, so you're trapped there and then the wall cuts away and the rebels have come to save you. So the wall literally, there's like an orange outline as they cut the wall. Then the wall moves away and then the person comes in and says like, come with me, we're escaping.
We're with the resistance. We're rescuing you. The first time I was like, ah! I was like, ah! I really love seeing the cast members who crush that part.
Yes.
Because that's got to be, like, one of the meaty parts. You get that in your rotation, and it's like, oh,
I'm ready to be a hero, baby.
Because it's technical, too, because you're technically operating the ride vehicle, loading the ride vehicle, but you're also, like, acting and, like, sticking your head in, like, come with me if you want to live.
Kyle Reese?
Just mixing all the stars. Not just stars.
So,
all the space,
so many
sci-fi.
Action franchises.
So many action franchises.
I did say I love to ride the movies. I wasn't lying.
She was not mixing her words. But yeah, I wonder how many people have actually just fallen because they're leaning against the wall at that point. But don't lean against the wall. Look, it's part of the show. And they always kind of look because everyone's looking towards them because the thing's happening above their head. And then they'll do a double take and look behind them like, oh, the wall is being cut. So that's how you escape the interrogation room. I feel like as much as like we're spoiling this, going on this ride is such a different experience from how we're explaining it. Like, even though I knew what the ride was going to be like, going on it felt so different.
Well, some of the things, I think the strongest thing about it in general is not the specific ride. It's like being in the atmosphere of a Star Wars. I mean, even if you don't know Star Wars that well, it feels like those things that you've seen and they're all tangible. And because they're all like somewhat realistic, it makes it such a easier sell, you know? Like it really does feel real. One of the things I love too is even if you go on it two or three times, you know, there's still things that are slightly different because, you know, there's like four interrogation rooms. So the side that they cut through the wall can be different. There are certain things that are still minor, but it might still kind of surprise you if you're not like super. I mean, like, you could figure it out. It's not that, but it's enough that, you know, the first couple of times before you are really dissecting.
Yeah,
the
I've been
experience.
On it three times and it's still, there's still stuff I feel like I've missed. Like it feels like a different experience every time.
Well, sometimes things don't always work either.
Yeah, that's very true. I want to, yeah, you have some stories about that. So then you escape to the ride loading vehicle area. So you get onto.
Get in.
Yeah, you got to rush. But then they also are like safe. Make sure you buckle yourself in.
Remember your color.
Yes.
Orange straps.
I forgot.
So who knew that they existed both in here and
yes.
in space? Surprise.
I forgot every time what my color was and I had to be reminded. You get in. I got to sit on the front twice. But when you and I went, we were in the back. And there's two different sides you can go on. So it's two vehicles loading at the same time. And you
two
kind of travel.
Ride vehicles,
two
of
ride
four
vehicles.
And four.
Yes, eight and eight.
Right, but
yeah.
Rows of four.
Oh
four.
Yeah, row four, four. Yeah,
four and four.
Yes, and then you exit out. So then, first Finn comes on the screen and he's kind of explaining like you gotta escape, and then he tells you like how to escape. I'm Finn. Hey, I'm a stormtrooper. And then you go out and
he was a stormtrooper.
He was, and now but he's disguised as one now. And he's like, hey, baby, what's up?
I'm force sensitive. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to say it. Yeah. I'm force sensitive. Did you know I'm force sensitive? I'm force sensitive.
Did you know that I'm only force sensitive so I know where Rey is and I can tell that she's fine? And that's the only reason. Anyways.
End of list.
Really? Anyways.
So then as you pull out, sometimes depending where you are, you either pull out forward or you pull out backwards.
No, backwards. I think it's always backwards.
No, one time
it?
I did forwards.
Oh.
Yeah. Sometimes one room it's forwards and I think most of them are backwards.
The backwards is fun.
It is fun, yeah. And then as you're leaving more vehicle, so you're basically the ride vehicle is a prison transport and the prison you're being transported somewhere else. But then it's the rebels have used it to help you escape and you have to get to an escape pod. So as you're leaving, you pass other transport vehicles which are coming to get the next group. And basically
because that room only has one entrance.
Yeah, one entrance.
As you're leaving, they are replacing you.
Exactly. To get more prisoners. And your droids are normally bad droids, but they've been reprogrammed. So they lie to the other droids. And they're like, we're just taking prisoners. Dolores.
They're a little liar. Yes.
We're just taking prisoners.
We're just two normal maintenance droids taking a stroll. We got some of these old dandies. You know, the prisoners, we treat them like the toads they are. We'll be back soon for more, too.
Get more prisoners. Nothing to see here.
They don't want us to voice the droids. It's so weird.
This was actually the original voice of the droids, and they cut it because it was too controversial for how good and distracting it was.
Oh, they sounded like angry women.
So at this point, the two vehicles launch. Sometimes you're together, sometimes you're separate, but you have slightly different experiences, but not super different. It's basically you experience the same things from different angles.
I was not aware it was different.
Yeah, so like the first room you go into is the probe droid, and you're either the first vehicle to run into it or you're the one that kind of goes past it. And then at some points like one you see one thing, some points you see another.
Oh, you're
thing.
Talking because of both ones.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like the ride as us as a whole.
Oh no, the ride as a whole is the same. It's just you see things depending on your vehicle slightly
so
different perspectives.
To phrase it.
To make me make sense, yes.
You basically ride it like a duet.
Yes.
Where you're going the same place, but one of you makes a turn to the left and maybe one of you mirrors and takes a turn to the right. One of you is going a little further or one of you is stepping behind. It's a beautiful ballet of a ride through the Rise of the Resistance.
A very magnificent use of the trackless ride vehicles.
But yeah, I got you. Now I'm caught up.
It does feel like you're actually like walking around, like you'll like go back up, go run over here, like turn over here. It's like they use the ride system really well, and it's very like jarring and very like high energy.
It does feel like the droids are actually thinking and then reprocessing like, okay, there's something right there. Just kidding. Like, beep, boop.
Beep, boop, boop, beep.
Circle back around here and no.
And leave. And then at one point, the stormtroopers start shooting at you, and of course they miss. Because that's what they do.
They suck so bad.
So bad.
At their job.
Then you get into one of the best rooms, probably the most famous room from the ride, the AT-AT room, with the big walking things.
So beautiful.
So that's the point where you're like going around and you're trying to avoid them because they're walking. Or I don't know if they're walking or if they're just like hanging out, chilling there.
Yeah, I don't think you really see them.
Yeah, they don't move, but they're.
I think
huge.
That their feet maybe look like one's more forward than like when you're pretending you're taking a walking picture on Instagram,
and
so one leg is forward, so you're kind of like.
I'm in motion, but not really. I'm in my angle, baby.
Yeah. I'm standing still because this is a slow shutter
speed.
They
know their Instagram angles.
They do. They're ready.
And it's one leg forward.
So this is the point where the vehicle split up. So you go either to the front of the AT-AT or the side of the AT-AT. So you see two different Finn animatronics. You only see, depending on which ride vehicle, one of them at a time.
Each one sees a different one, I believe.
Yeah. So
or
there's
two?
One. So there's one that's sitting down. So each one has a Finn. One Finn is standing up. One is sitting down. And then each one has like a stormtrooper or an arm that's shooting. That's like just an
one is standing
arm.
In like the side of that closet door thing, and one is like
kneeling by some boxes.
Sitting
by some boxes. And the one that's sitting by the boxes, the side one, I have never seen it because there's so much going on. It was hard for me to find him, and I've only been on that side one time.
I've seen them both.
Yes, I missed him. I missed him because he was just so like.
Well, also if you don't know where to look with him, he's low.
He's and like if you're on the lower. Other side of the. Mm-hmm. Vehicle, I'm not sure. I've usually been more on the right, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm placed better for that viewing.
There's not like a big spotlight on him. Like there's a little bit, but you kind of have to just like look around and you just think like there's a and things are like shooting at you. So of course you're not like I'm verified.
And there's big old ads right there.
Yes. So then
I just want to look at them.
I just want to look be like, hey buddy, how you doing? Then you get into you back up into an elevator and you go up really quickly and it's kind of jarring. And Finn is going like, not up. Up is bad. And then you get shot at by the AT-ATs. I like it better from the front than from the side because I feel like the gun is more threatening from the front. But it's the same experience either way. So then you go into the next room, which is Hux and Kylo animatronics. So you're on two different sides. And they're kind of high up. And they're in the ship piloting area. I don't know what you call that. The cockpit
navigational services,
and they're both there, and their backs are there. Hux never turns around, so you don't see his face. But Kylo turns around at one point if he's working, which sometimes he does.
Also, more on if you're on the left side.
Yeah, you see more.
You'll
Kylo.
Get the. Although if he's in B, you'll only get the quarter turn.
Yeah,
he does have a full.
There's the A mode turn, the B mode turn, and just broken.
Because opening day, we only saw B mode. I didn't see him full turn until like the.
And he's dramatic. He like swoops his arm around.
But isn't he always so dramatic? Oh.
And he's high up, which they probably do so girls won't try to kiss him.
Hey, we're still going to try.
We're going to try.
What you do?
Ladders.
You just blow the kisses.
Go, Carlo, I love you. And then ships come in. And isn't it they're saying something about like, we need to put up our shields. And he's like, nuh-uh. And then the ships come.
Honestly, I can never hear what he's saying because I'm just going, look at me. And I know he's an animatronic, but I still want
it could be that. Adam Driver. You never know.
You don't know. Hey, remember that one day when they put Johnny Depp into the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yep.
And he was really there. Yep. It may happen.
Didn't they do that with Tom Holland as Spider-Man too? He was dressed up as Spider-Man.
He met a couple people in the spot where Spider-Man meets. I don't know the details.
That's not as famous as the Johnny.
Although
Depp
that was a day that I was gonna go to Disneyland and then didn't go. And
You know what, Tom Holland.
I could take or leave because he's a young boy. I appreciate his portrayal of Peter Parker. I think he is the best who's done it. But also Jake Gyllenhaal is there. And I wasn't there.
Tom Holland would try to talk to you and you'd just be like, that's cute. Jake, hello.
Hey, little boy, let me talk to your dad.
Kylo Ren chases after you. You see a screen of him. He has his lightsaber. Then you get
Did
into
you
an
know
elevator.
That lightsaber is cardboard?
It is?
Yeah, it's projected onto cardboard.
Oh my gosh, and it lights
or
up.
Or I don't know if it's the saber part. It's like maybe the Kylo is cardboard. Something in there is... It looks amazing.
It looks cool.
He's coming at you. He's...
Every time I watch it, I just think, like, there's some girl going, oh, daddy. Like,
and that girl is me sitting next to you.
Oh, yeah, that's...
you're literally just hearing me speak.
you're in the elevator.
Then you're in the room, and you know what happens, but it doesn't always happen.
Oh, didn't work all the time? So
the lightsaber?
Yeah,
lightsaber. No, I've seen it not go through like half the time. It just doesn't happen.
So the lightsaber supposedly, or it's supposed to go through the ceiling and then it like starts cutting through and it's a really cool looking effect because really like the lightsaber's right in front of you and you see it cutting. But what happens when it's not working and it's not a real elevator?
Nothing,
it's a fake
baby.
Elevator. It just nothing comes up and you're just like, I'm in an elevator. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
just a very quaint elevator ride.
It's like anytime you've been in an elevator, it's exactly like that.
It is cool because the ride vehicle like moves a little bit, so it feels like you're actually going down or going up. I don't know which direction you're going in.
But yeah, you're really moving.
I like that lightsaber effect. Like, I think it looks pretty, it's pretty effective. Like, you can tell when you stare at it, like, okay, it's going to go in this area, but it's still cool to have like,
Well, how's that again? Kylo Ren, are you here? Where is he?
Then you get to the scariest part, which is the cannon room, which I actually fear for my life. So it's these little like cannon. So on the right hand side,
these little baby cannons,
these huge cannons that if they actually hit you would probably kill you, which I don't get how that doesn't happen. And on the right, there's screens of like the stars and the wars happening. Every time we go through that, I'm terrified. So you basically like go in between each of them and try to escape the cannon fire. They come out really fast. Are you as afraid of this as I am? I know Jenny and I are both like terrified of this room.
Doesn't bother me at all, baby.
It doesn't bother you? You don't think you're going to get hit by them?
No. And if I did, Disney better pay me some money.
I know. Give me some money. They must be lighter than they look. I don't know. So then you get to the A-1000 Kylo. So you go and you see Kylo and he captures you with the Force. And then he, like, you're kind of moving.
He sure does. He really does.
He makes you move, like, forwards and backwards. And then all of a sudden the ship gets shot at. And then you have flying Kylo where his arms are, like, going, wah! And then a piece of debris falls in front of him so he can reset.
You could say he has a big Elsa body language.
He's letting it go right in front of you. And that's how you can escape is because he gets... I don't think he gets sucked out of the ship, but he definitely, like, gets close to it.
No, I think it's, like, in Rise of Skywalker when he's in the hangar and all the wind is coming and everyone else is getting blown back and he's kind of like...
We're both doing the face right now.
Really sticking it? Yeah. He's really sticking that landing like a true gymnast.
He's a true Elsa Jedi. He pulls off the helmet. It's just Elsa in there.
You know, that would be a weird feeling for me to endure. See.
So if the animatronic isn't working, because it's one of the most advanced animatronics in the ride, Kylo appears on the screen in a TIE fighter threatening to blast us, but he's shot down.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I read that on Wikipedia, that is that what happens. But I think he's been working, so.
He's worked every time for me.
Okay, so up until this point, I know you had an issue with the escape pod, which we'll get to. What has not worked on the ride for you? Because so far, every time I've been on it, I felt like everything worked.
B-mode Kylo on the left side not turning around all the way. The lightsaber not coming through. I would say, like, the most, that's the biggest thing that hasn't worked. And,
Would you think that would be easy, but I guess it's not that easy of an effect.
There was something else, and it wasn't as obvious. I feel like it, besides the transport thing, which is the weirdest one, but... I think it was just like something like not showing up, like maybe one of the lasery things.
The cannons crashed into you.
Yeah, the cannons ran me over. I've been a ghost ever since.
So then you get to the escape pod. So you go in, and it's projection. It's like Star Tours. Yeah, you get in there, and then once you're buckled in, you see the escape pod starting to drop. You drop. It's actually the first time I went on it, I was terrified.
You're signaled by the drop. You see, yeah. You could see
the other thing dropping. Yeah.
Yeah.
One drops, then you drop with the second one. It's actually a nice feeling because it feels like you're getting caught. Like you drop for literally 1 second before you can even register it. You're caught, and it's like you're caught in a glove, but it's gravity. Then you crash land on Earth, which crash is
onto Batuu.
Onto Batuu. So you're escaping onto from Batuu. Onto Earth. Sorry, but you're escaping from Batuu, and then you're coming back to Batuu, which I never got. So I guess Batuu's fine again.
Well, you get intercepted.
Yeah. So you got to start again.
I think you just, yeah.
You got to start again. So it's cool because the crash landing feels a lot better than the crashing on Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. That when you like crash, it's very painful. This, it's actually not that painful of a crash. It's a very soft landing.
It's a real quick trip.
Yeah. And it's cool because the wall behind you is not connected, so you can see like you're moving but the wall behind you is not moving. So tell me about the time you went on it and the not CGI, the screen wasn't working for the landing part.
It was so weird. So it was whatever the day was that I went with a bunch of the Star Wars chat girls. So half of us in our transport had been on the ride before and the other half hadn't, and we had two cars worth transports of people, you know. So we were in the one, I think that was the one that goes further, and the drop thing, it never came up. And
but you dropped.
Yes, but it was black. And then we just kept shaking the whole time because they were still like moving. Yeah. And we were just on the ground with this guy doing like work on a ship, like welding or something. And I swear it shook more than I've ever. It was just like and me and some of the girls in the row behind me, like I was turning around, we're all looking at each other like
that's the Halloween version that they're testing out, the rise.
It's
after
just
dark.
A free fall out of space,
yeah, into
and
darkness.
Then you just really really shake you up good.
It just shake you up good.
Yeah, I wish. The weirdest thing too was I was because I was in the front row and I was on the far right, so I had a kind of clear view. And then the girl next to me had never been on the ride, so I was also gonna I was filming a bunch of her. And that was the part that I thought, well, it's just gonna be filming the video, so I'm not gonna film this part. So I put my phone away, and then it was weird, and I was like, no, why didn't I take video of this weird thing?
Disney should have let you go on again because you missed it.
I just wish I had video of it because it was so funny. And like turning around and just seeing like so many bewildered faces of like,
did we die?
Just is like, that the plot? And the girls who hadn't been on it were just like, what happened? And we're like, I don't know.
Crash landing.
who could say?
Who knows?
The Force is so crazy sometimes.
And if you're afraid of drops, don't be afraid to go on this ride. The drop is really, I think it's fun. I think it's a fun drop. And I hate drop rides. So 10 out of 10 would recommend.
It's barely a drop for me. I could do with more drop, but it's good.
Yeah, it's not even a second. Like, it's less than Pirates. You don't even know what's going on. You're just like, drop. It's like, done. So then after you crash land, you see an animatronic of Lieutenant Beck in his crash vehicle, and you get off the ride. The end.
And he's like, great job.
Oh, wait, the Jabba the Hutt. He's like, I'm a fish man.
He says, I'll bring you in hot or cold.
He's like, my fish people are the great captains and lieutenants. We do very well in war. We're great leaders. He says,
my name is Han Solo.
And he rips off his fish mask.
Yeah. And it's so, Harrison Ford himself, ladies and gentlemen.
But 80-year-old Harrison Ford.
That's fine.
That's cool. That's cool with me. So of the two, so as we discussed, there's two sides you go on. There's two slightly different experiences. Which experience do you think is better? The main difference would be between the front-facing AT-AT and the side-facing.
I think the front facing AT-AT is the one that you're on the left side of Kylo. Yes. That's the better side.
I would agree with that. That's the one where you see the probe droid up close. That's the one where you are at the front of the AT-AT, which I think is better personally. This is my new favorite Disneyland ride. I'm going to declare it right now. Rise of the Resistance is my new favorite.
I do love it a lot. I think still the only problem for me is my favorite type of rides are thrilling generally, not like Six Flags thrilling.
Yeah. This isn't very physically, it's emotionally and mentally thrilling. It's not physically very thrilling.
But I mean, I love something on the level of a Space Mountain, a Matterhorn, at least. Because those aren't even the most thrilling rides, you know? But I like a little bit more, which I understand. This is kind of like the heightened version of a dark ride. So, I mean, it's not fair for me to expect that. But that's the only thing that would have changed it for me, is if it was just a little bit more thrilling. But it's for all ages.
This is the ride, once they open up the line, like, you can just stand in it. I'm going to probably go on it every time we go to Disneyland. Like, I love this ride. I want to experience it. Who knows, after, like, the 20th time, am I going to be like, okay, this isn't my favorite ride anymore. But as of now, I really enjoyed every part of that ride. I just think it's really fun. It's a Jasmine level, Jasmine stamp of approval.
It is a Jasmine level, I think.
It is a Jasmine level. The level of your eyes. What are your... Phantom reference. What are your thoughts on the trackless ride system?
I like it.
I like it too.
I think it works particularly well in the context of this story.
This one, at first I thought, oh, what's the point of a trackless ride system? It really makes the ride. It's like you feel like you're running through. It's another character, the trackless ride system. I think it's perfect. I think it's great. I think it really adds to the ride. Once again, Jasmine approved. It's Jasmine level of thrills.
Well, especially because, you know, a major point of this ride is the droids not really knowing where they're going, and the fact that you're moving around, it couldn't work better with that purpose in mind, that you're not seeing a track and everything is, it really does feel like a instantaneous decision to go in that direction. So it's a smart move, man.
It's cool because, like, you obviously couldn't just walk around because that would be dangerous. So, or would it?
I would if they let me.
So it's the closest you can get to actually feeling like you're physically moving yourself. But you're not, obviously, because, like, suing. Any final thoughts about Rise of the Resistance?
I really love seeing Poe Dameron there. I love seeing Kylo Ren there, baby. I love that Hux body check, baby. I love...
I wish they had a Poe animatronic.
I don't think we could handle that.
No, we could. We'd be like, too sexy. Too much.
Girls would be figuring out how to get that safety belt off. Yeah.
Even in space, they tell you to check the little tab. Even when you're escaping, safety first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we both would agree.
My final thoughts are it's so good. I would really love... The problem is, for me, after Rise of Skywalker, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, granted, anything you lock in a time, it will make sense in that time. But for where they went with the story, it was a kind of strange choice, if that's what they knew they were going to do, which I don't think it is. But it just makes me want another Star Wars ride. Not that this one isn't good, but I'm like, you have so many more places I would like to visit, so why don't we also go to those?
Let's go to Tatooine.
Cloud City, baby.
I know that, like, and for California, the movie came out a month before the ride, so it was like, oh, well, this is all different now. Like, this is all negated.
You know, one thing I would have really liked to see, which is just, like, I don't know how they would have done that effect per se, but one of my favorite things in this franchise, especially that happens in Rise of Skywalker, is a scene, you know, where because of the dyad bond, how Kylo can tell that Rey's in his room because, spoilers,
they're in love.
Well, because of the bond, you know, he moves the thing, he could see the Darth Vader mask, so he knows she's in his quarters. I do think it would have been really cool to have some kind of way to be in a space and then have something appear.
Ooh, yes. You know?
But, yeah. That's just my personal want. I could write such a list of my personal wants and
your
what
fan
I would
fiction.
My fan fiction about me and Kylo. My name is Rey now, Rey Skywalker.
Yeah, it would be nice if in the whole land of Galaxy's Edge, my one complaint is I wish they had more classic characters, not just new characters, but I get, like, they want. Maybe they don't have the dealer, the license or whatever to have.
I think Lucasfilm is really strict about the timeline. Hence those beautiful carts of Baby Yoda merch right out
on the outskirts. Yeah, I love that the Baby Yoda merch is like literally right at the border. Like, well, time doesn't matter here. We can sell Baby Yoda stuff
here. It's really like they're those people trying to sell you cream at the mall. Yeah. You know? Come on, you got a second. Come on. Like, your hands look so dry. You don't need this cream. You don't need this Baby Yoda sticker for your car. I'm like, I mean, maybe. Like, you think I need it for my car?
I did buy it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd be like, I already bought it all, lady. You're not making new stuff fast enough for me. So, yes, thank you to everyone for listening to our rantings. Special thanks to our Patreons, Abby, Ashley, Danny, David, Jennifer, Lauren, Mandy, Sean, Tiffany, Tori, Valerie, Wynette, and Jenny.
Wow, thank you, patrons.
Thank you. If you want to become our patron, it's open for the month of April. You can join anytime. I kind of open and close it depending on if I'm making new episodes. Go to patreon.com/1313harborthepodcast. You can visit our website, 1313harborthepodcast.com. From there, you can email us. You can also email us from 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com. Our social media is 1313harborthepodcast on Instagram, 1313harbor on Twitter. You can rate and review us on wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify. Make sure you rate and review, like us, subscribe. Where can they find you, Dame Fino?
Dame Fino on Instagram, DamFino. Twitter is Lady Dame Fino, spelled the same way.
She's fancy.
And someone took the name before I got to it on Twitter.
Oh, no.
That's what you get. And if you see me around, you can talk to me about Kylo or Poe or which. Hey, whichever Star Wars guy you love the most.
Yeah, mine is Jazz Lajavardi because Jasmine Lajavardi is too long for Twitter.
I thought you were going to say that's your favorite guy from Star Wars.
Jazz.
Like, who the hell's Jazz?
It's me. I'm in Star Wars. They cut me out.
Honestly, that would be like a really cool, like a smuggler, Jazz.
Yes. Yeah. To all who come to this happy podcast, welcome.